Welcome to The Fringe Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the Fox television show Fringe. Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Fringe Podcast. I'm your host, Daryl, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Courtney.
Hi.
And finally, for the first time ever, making his podcast debut, our co-host, Jason.
Hey.
Oh, I liked it when we were waiting.
Excited. I know.
Yeah. What our listeners don't know is this is actually take two because my laptop battery died right when we started the other one. And the previous recording, when I introduced him, he just sat there, pretending he wasn't there.
Because he's our imaginary friend.
Right. If you listened to our episode last week, we said he was our imaginary friend. And so really what we did was we just flagged down some guy driving by and said, you have to stand in and act like your name is Jason today.
I'm getting $5.
So if he doesn't respond when we say Jason, that's why.
Yeah, he forgot his name.
He forgot who he was.
No, Jason, it's good to have you. I'm glad you're... Your family situation allowed you to be here, this week for our podcast. Would you like to share anything about why you weren't here last week, or is that something you don't want to share?
It's just good to be here.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so a lot of stuff coming out. We are now just a couple of weeks away from the release, or the premiere, I guess you could say, of Fringe. And we are getting pretty excited around here.
Yes.
Yes. I almost said dad gone.
And I don't know why. Dadgone is a good word.
I don't know where that word came from, but
you got it from me. I say it.
Do you say it?
I do. Dadgone, dadgummit.
It's a southern word. It sounds like a redneck word.
What are you saying? Are you calling me a redneck?
If the shoe fits, and if it doesn't fit, that's fine. But I'm just saying that word sounds like a redneck word to me.
I don't know. Do you know what noodling is?
Yes, I do. Yeah. But the next question would be, have I participated? No.
Knowing and saying the word dadgone. Pretty much speaks for itself.
Have you ever noodled, Jason?
No, I have not. I'm scared to death of the things that are in there.
I did it one time, and it freaked me out sticking my hand in the holes, waiting for something to latch on.
Now who's the redneck?
Okay, fine.
Where do I sign up for this?
So I'm sure our listeners don't care anything about, redneck terms or noodling.
Probably not.
Probably not. They probably tuned into this to hear our take on Fringe and hopefully learn some new things that we can share with them today. This week, we continue to see new things released on the internet, including Fox.com/Fringe. They have totally revamped their website. Gone is the old, what would you call that?
Ugly?
Oh, no, I didn't think it was ugly. It was plain. I mean, it was just,
plain.
You had
plain
these rotating pictures and these braille numbers below them.
Plain is a better word.
Very simplistic, but I didn't think it was ugly. Now they've really fleshed it out. I'm looking at it right now, and they've got a countdown timer, which is cool because they have the code that you can take from that and put it on your website, which we did. And so that's cool. And they've got all kinds of other things: info, bios, blog, videos, gallery, features, show community, and newsletter. It's pretty cool. They have a lot of videos and photographs and stuff like that on there, some of which, of course, you can find at our website, which is thefringepodcast.com. So it's cool. Right now I'm looking at it, and we have the flower with the dragonfly wing that's on there, which is one of the pictures that we saw from the old site. So they did carry over some of the overall look is still similar. You can kind of see where it's... Oh, what's the word? Kind of inspired by the same sorts of things, which makes sense, I think. So beside the new update of fox.com/fringe, they've also updated the website that we referenced. I think it was in our last podcast, what is essentially the number 5.com. Was that one podcast or two podcasts ago now?
I don't know. I think it was last podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But you can find that website on our website. We link to it. I'll tell you what, I'll switch over there.
It's also imaginethepossibilities.com. Impossibilities.
Imaginetheimpossibilities.com. Okay, that's a good tip. I forgot about that, actually. I completely forgot about that. So you can go there, and they're kind of releasing new clues. I don't know. Is it once a week?
No, I don't think it's quite been once a week.
Okay.
They did release one and then took it off. Because if you go there now and notice, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 6. What happened to evidence 5?
Right. What happened to evidence 5? So we'll put a link to where you can find evidence 5. We were able to track that down, and we do have it.
Thanks to Fringe Television.
Yeah. I printed it off, and I'm looking at it.
Bloggers. Might have been Fringe Bloggers.
I think this one was Fringe Bloggers that had it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And it's a DNA slide, and I am clueless when it comes to DNA, interpreting DNA slides and stuff like that. Jason and Courtney and I have all looked at it, and actually Courtney and I looked at it, and we were like, we got nothing. And Jason's like, well, let me take a look at that. Like he's some sort of DNA analyst or something.
Right.
So, Jason, after your deep interpretation of the DNA slide, what have you got for us?
I have exactly nothing. It is a nice picture, though.
So, Jason brings a little bit of Jack and a whole lot of squat to the podcast.
I am all talk.
Not up to this point, you're not. You're like all sit.
Pretty much.
I see. That's okay.
$5 only gets you so far.
Very good.
I also noticed they took down evidence 1 now.
Is that right?
Yeah. You can, if...
Evidence 1 was the coordinates? Is that right?
You click on it initially. You type imagine the impossibilities. I don't know why I can't get that all out. It goes there for like a second. Actually, it stays there for a while. But if you click next, it takes you to evidence 2. But you can't go back to previous.
So evidence 1 was coordinates, longitude and latitude coordinates for 4 cities.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in Iowa.
Carroll, Iowa, Cresco, Iowa, Vinton, Iowa, and Estherville.
That's right, which happened to be on this DNA sample. Well, yeah, that's right. We talked last week how they formed a golden rectangle. But this DNA sample I'm holding here shows DNA samples from 4 different locations, and they're Carroll and Vinton and Cresco and Estherville. And so we think these are probably sheep DNA that we're looking at. And there are more there's more than one sample from each location. So like Carroll has 2, looks like Cresco's got 3, Vinton's got a couple. Maybe they all have 3 now that I see them more down at the bottom. So there's multiple DNA samples taken from each location. And then the latest one that is currently on their website that has not been removed is a little video of someone breaking into some place and shredding something. Any ideas or thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we originally said that it was I'm watching it now. We originally said it was possibly the DNA sample. And then I had just watched that video previously from Imagine the Impossibilities, and he hands the farmer a picture to look at. And I thought, oh, well, maybe it was the picture and not the DNA.
The picture was the sheep in a circle.
Yeah. It also had things written on it, which you can't tell what they are from the angle that.
Okay.
But as I'm watching, I went to watch the next video, the new evidence that was posted on 8/18/2008 at 16:20 p.m. What would that be, 4:20?
Yep.
And it looks a bit more like the DNA. Actually, I mean, obviously I can't tell exactly, but I would say chances are really good it's that.
The sheep DNA?
Yeah.
So we think it's probably the sheep DNA.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it looks, I don't have the slightest idea on how to interpret this. It means absolutely nothing to me. I might as well be looking at paint ink blots on paper. But it's interesting nonetheless. I think it's interesting because of the whole fringe science thing. I mean, we talked a couple of episodes ago, we went down the list and kind of named off all of the fringe sciences that we saw in the opening title sequence. And one of the specific things that we also talked about was cloning, if I remember correctly. And so when talking about sheep and cloning, a little sheep by the name of Dolly comes to mind.
Dolly.
Do you guys remember Dolly the cloned sheep?
Mary had
yes, I do.
A little lamb.
Now, Jason, you were telling me something earlier today about Dolly. Can you tell us a little bit about what you remember about Dolly?
Well, just what I remember about Dolly is that they couldn't wait to tell the world what they've done and put the sheep on camera, letting the whole world know. And then it kind of went quiet a couple years down the road. You really didn't hear anything on Dolly anymore. You just get kind of curious until you find out what actually did happen to Dolly. And they really didn't want to promote that part.
Yeah, so after Jason told me about how he heard, as he remembered it, Dolly kind of died unexpectedly and maybe not in a really good way.
Not in a good way for a sheep that age.
Not of natural causes.
Okay. So I did some research, and I found this article on New Science, newscientist.com, and I will post this in with the post for this podcast, so you guys can just go over to our website at thefringepodcast.com, and you'll see the link here to New Scientist. And it's dated from February the 14th of 2003. It's talking about Dolly the sheep dies young. I'm just going to read most of this. It's pretty interesting. It's not very long. But it says, Dolly the sheep, the first mammal to be cloned from an adult cell, was put down on Friday afternoon after developing a progressive lung disease. Dolly's birth 6.5 years ago caused a sensation around the world, but as many sheep live twice this age, her death will refuel the intense debate over the health and life expectancy of cloned animals. It says this type of lung disease that Dolly developed is most common in older sheep, and in 2002, it was revealed that Dolly had developed arthritis prematurely. So here she's developed this lung disease and arthritis that aren't typically found until you are older in your development. It says, it goes on to say, she was cloned using a cell taken from a healthy 6-year-old sheep, and she was born on July the 5th of 1996. Now, she was born at the Roslin Institute, and Harry Griffin of the Roslin Institute says sheep can live up to 11 or 12 years of age, and here she died at 6. A full postmortem is being conducted, and we will report significant findings, and I didn't do any more research on that.
That article was what date? 2003?
This is 2003, February of 2003. So, pretty interesting. One more interesting note here. It says some cloned mammals, including Dolly, have shorter telomeres than other animals of the same age. So we need to research telomeres and figure out what those are. It says telomeres are pieces of DNA that protect the ends of chromosomes. And they shorten as cells divide and are therefore considered a measure of aging in cells. One study of cloned animals that have lived long enough to determine... The only study of cloned mammals that have lived long enough to determine any effect on lifespan revealed that the mice involved died prematurely. The research was conducted at the Natural Institute of Infectious Diseases in Tokyo, Japan. Other cloned animals appear normal and healthy. For example, the 24 calf clones created by U.S. cloning company Advanced Cell Technology, but these have yet to live long enough to draw any conclusions. So it sounds like cloning is not working so good. And I realize this is a dated article. I don't keep up with cloning or you know, if they've gotten any better at it or figured out what's causing the abnormal cell degradation that we kind of see there with Dolly. But I just the reason I bring that article up, because here we are seeing these, you know, cloning being one of the fringe sciences, we see a DNA slide from sheep that we feel pretty good is from these sheep. So maybe there's more cloning that's being done here that will tie into the show somehow. Okay, the other piece of evidence that we see on ImagineTheImpossibilities.com this week is someone breaking into a room and shredding something. Now, when I first saw it, it looked to me like they were shredding a photograph of some sort.
It looked like the photograph from the first evidence video that we have where the guy hands the farmer a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But as we go back and look at it and we compare the slide, which was taken off the site for some reason.
Maybe it was taken off the site because it was shredded.
Well, you know, I had that thought on the way here when we were thinking, it's like, why would they take that off? Oh, well, they lost it.
It got shredded.
So they couldn't keep it up.
That would be clever.
That would be very clever.
It could be it.
And it does. It's when you compare clever. It looks a lot like the DNA sample.
The DNA slide, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can't tell much because of the weird thing.
Great camera angle?
Deal. Well, it looks like there's like, it's like looking through a grate.
It does, like it's in an air vent or something. Yeah. And it's dark and all of that.
So, so you can't tell exactly that it's it, but I'm leaning heavily toward yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm sure we'll hopefully get some, how's that for absoluteness, get some new things added to imaginetheimpossibilities.com this week. And if so, we will report those on thefringepodcast.com. And the other thing that I saw kind of out there, I guess, I don't know if you can say big news or not, but the thing that was being reported the most, I think, this week was a press kit that was released. And as far as I can tell, I only saw where one of them was really shipped out. But everybody's reporting it. But I think it's because the folks that received it kind of got the word out there. But it looks like it was shipped to the folks over at TV Barn, if I remember correctly. Does that sound right?
Sounds like what you said.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it here. And I don't see. Yes, there we go. TV Barn. And inside it was like an FBI file. It had a photograph of a missing boy, a handwritten series of numbers, and a letter from J.J. Abrams, Alex Kurtzman, and Bob Orsi. And
who
a little,
are they?
And also a recorded message that was in the voice of Lance Reddick and his character, which is Philip Broyles. So it looks like it is the Philip Broyles case file that we see him mentioning to Olivia Dunham in the pilot episode and all the contents that are contained inside that file. It's pretty interesting. We don't currently have any pictures or audio of it on our site. The folks over at Fringe Television have got this pretty well covered. We were kind of late in the ballgame on this one, and we didn't just want to copy everything that everyone else had out there. So rather than just copy their stuff, we'll just tell you Fringe Television's got this one covered pretty good, I think.
I agree.
So it's interesting. It kind of breaks down the instances that, like I said, he mentions in the premiere. And also, I think that these are the topics that are going to be covered in the Fringe comic book.
I can't wait for that.
Which is next week. The last date I heard was I think, next Tuesday.
I had heard it changed.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. To September.
This is news to me. What is this? Tell me.
Oh, that's right. You were not here last week when we talked about the Fringe comic book. The things that Philip Broyles tells Olivia Dunham about in the pilot episode, there's an incident with a tsunami. There's an incident with missing children. There's an incident with someone waking up from a coma, which are kind of outlined in this FBI file. Those are also kind of, those stories are kind of told in greater detail in a comic book that's coming out called Fringe, the comic book, I guess, or a comic book series. I don't know exactly what the official name of it is, but it's the Fringe comic book. And I had heard it was releasing, I think, next Tuesday, which is like August the
27th.
Yeah.
So is Courtney going to get one?
Well, we decided, since you weren't here last week, that was your penance for not showing up, was to buy us comic
copy
books.
Up there.
Yep,
right.
You got to bring us all copies, not just one. We each need a copy.
That's okay. Right.
You gave me $5, and I got to go out and spend more than $5.
Yes.
Yeah, I lost already.
Hey, you agreed to it, so it's not our problem now.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you looking for a...
Yeah, I'm
to
trying
see if there's
to find,
anything out there.
I'm trying to find an delay. Official...
Well, If you think it's out there, I'll find out. I'll get on that.
You are a comic book nerd, aren't you?
I know some things.
You know a man who knows a man?
I know a man who knows a man who knows a dog who sits outside of one.
On sale September 3rd, 2008, and that is directly from the Wildstorm website.
Well, that wouldn't be next week then.
Actually, no. It's not the Wildstorm website. It's actually dccomics.com. But
it's a DC comic?
That's the website.
So September 3rd.
September 3rd.
That
and
is
then it looks
a
like,
Wednesday?
Second issue is September 17th.
That is typically the release day for new items.
Yep, that's a Wednesday.
But I don't recall DC doing television shows. That's interesting to me that DC would do that.
Well, it is Wildstorm Comics is what it says, but it's on DCComics.com.
It's an independent of something else, but that's for another day.
Yeah, I'm not all up on the comics. So anyway, we're still looking forward to that whenever it comes out, and we'll learn more about these cases through the comic book and hopefully through the television show also.
Yeah, I'll get on that. So,
one interesting thing about the press kit, though, it was sent to the folks over at TV Barn, and here's a sentence. It came with a letter, like I mentioned, that was signed by JJ and Bob and Alex, and it says, "We're so thrilled that you like the pilot of Fringe, which you more than likely downloaded illegally." And so they're basically accusing the folks at Fringe Barn of downloading and viewing the pilot episode prematurely. And if so, that was illegal, which we did that.
I don't know about you guys.
I did nothing. I am innocent.
I'll be honest with you. When I downloaded it and did it, I was totally working under the feeling that they had leaked the pilot on purpose to try to get some, you know, internet chatter and excitement going out there.
I think there are a lot of people who feel the same way.
Yeah. So, you know, now that I see this, I guess that's probably not the case, but I don't typically do that. In this case, I really felt like that was the case, so I went ahead and downloaded it. But anyway, I guess that's neither here nor there. But
I guess if you get busted this week, then
the FBI shows
yes,
up.
Yes, Mr. Abrams, remember, I did not watch this. I was at Dark Knight. So.
Anyway, so let's move on to the last thing that we're going to talk about today. And these are a series of kind of audio clips and commercials that are out there. And these have been out there for a while.
Yeah, these are old, the beginning of July.
Yeah, I mean, the first episode that I recorded, I kind of mentioned that there was some radio ads that had been broadcast in large markets. And that was really the only thing that we had ever done. But I thought it would be interesting this week to kind of go back and look at those. They came at the very first part of July, so they've been out there for a while. But I don't know. Maybe folks don't know about them. They're interesting anyway.
I didn't know about them.
So let me pull this up here, and we are going to listen to these. And there's five different clips. So the first one is talking about a car dealership. Here we go.
It's our big summer sale, and all 2008 models are tagged for extra savings. Isn't that the one we need?
Find the pattern.
It's only at Abrams Auto. Tell them Charlie sent ya.
Fox.
So there's the first one. Abrams Auto.
Abrams Auto.
Mm-hmm. Abrams.
Like J.J. Abrams.
No, really. Who is Charlie?
Charlie died in the hatch.
On a completely different show.
Yeah.
Y'all,
not
everyone.
Not boat. I don't know. Maybe Charlie is coming back from the dead, you know, and seeing people in their mental institutions.
Reanimation.
There you go. I don't know. So that's interesting. I don't know. Is there much more to add to that one? You guys got anything?
Not really. Yeah. Although there is a little segment in there. If you play it backwards, it says, and you know what that means.
Really?
Yes.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I feel threatened now.
Okay.
Don't feel threatened. It's okay.
All right. Here's the second one. And it talks about a situation that happened while a man was at a department store.
A Baltimore family discovered a disoriented man in their backyard today who claims to have been in a London department store moments before. Security tapes confirm his story. Many believe this is part of the pattern.
Fine. The pattern. Fox.
Okay, so this guy is in a London department store and then shows up in the backyard of a couple.
In Baltimore.
Who live in Baltimore.
Across the pond.
Another Fringe science that we talked about. Teleportation. Although it had a different name, if I remember right.
No.
Was it teleportation?
Teleportation.
Okay. Because I remember this was, I really enjoyed our conversation on this. We talked about how cool it would be if we could just teleport to the office.
To work, yeah.
We wouldn't have to show our badges to Mary when we walk by.
Yes.
She wouldn't scare me.
She will tackle you if you try to get by without your name
badge. She has threatened my life on many occasions.
So, anyway, so that the guy goes from London and to Baltimore.
He's like, I'm just shopping for me knickers.
Wow.
I'm shopping for me knickers.
We want you to keep those on.
Yes, we do. Okay, and here's the next one. It talks about a police situation.
Calling all units. There's a 1022 at the VFW Hall at Abrams and 4th. 200 wedding guests are disoriented. All claim they can't remember the last 2 hours. May be linked to the pattern. Over.
Find the pattern.
Okay. At Abrams, was the intersection?
Abrams and 4th.
I'm not conceited at all.
So, okay, there's a 1022, and we did some research. We don't know anything about police codes, but a 1022 basically means stop what you're doing.
And go and respond to this place.
And respond to this place, yeah. Disregard your previous assignment and take action on this new thing. So, pretty serious event that we've got coming on here. Okay, so what fringe science is happening here? Where people are at a party.
It's at the VFW.
And they can't remember the last 2 hours.
Veterans of Foreign Wars, or so many people. But they usually do have those halls, and some families like to have weddings there because they get pretty cheap.
Right.
But the fringe science there is that they don't recollect what happened the last 2 hours. So mass memory loss, 200 people. What fringe are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Maybe someone spiked the Kool-Aid.
Men in Black showed up with a little laser beam light thingy.
They saw something they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure specifically any of the ones that we covered the other night, if any of those it would be.
Mm-mm.
No, but if you think it, feel more than happy. Just get on our website and share your thoughts.
Absolutely.
Then we can share them with everyone else.
And you can send us feedback at feedback@thefringepodcast.com or join our forum at thefringepodcast.com/forum. And give us your thoughts if you got an idea on what type of fringe science might be being conducted on these folks, this group of 200 who all lost the memory of the previous 2 hours. Okay, I've got two others we're going to listen to here. The first one is a distress signal from a cruise ship.
National Sea Rescue, this is the Solara cruise ship Estrella. Come in.
Roger, we read you 5x5. Go ahead, Estrella.
Mayday, the navigation system's down.
We copy. What was your last position?
We can't find our way out. There's a sudden fog bank off the coast of Patagonia. I'm going to try and turn her around. Mayday.
Mayday.
Can't find. There's a sudden fog bank off the coast of Patagonia. Turn. Find the turn.
Find the pattern. Fox.
The pattern.
Okay, so we talked about this one. It's a cruise ship off the coast of Patagonia. There are a couple of interesting things about Patagonia, Courtney.
It's in South America.
Okay. What else?
Charles Darwin visited there in the 1800s on a science expedition.
Okay.
The guy who came up with the crazy idea of evolution.
Right.
And they also are known for their sheep ranching.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay. So we could have some things going on there. They are seem to be caught in some sort of...
fog bank.
Yeah. Not really sure what's going on. I think really the interesting things there are the tie into the sheep that you had, the tie into Darwin, and that they seem to be caught in some sort of...
loop.
Something that they can't get out of, some sort of loop. I don't know if it's a time loop or if it's...
Well, I mean, it kept rewinding, playing the same ending.
Right. So. I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know. I kind of thought that was somebody that was manipulating the recording.
What was that 5x5? I am not a naval person.
I don't know. You want to replay it?
Replay it.
National Sea Rescue, this is the Solara cruise ship Estrella. Come in.
Roger, we read you 5x5. Go ahead, Estrella.
Mayday, the navigation system's down.
We copy. What was your last position?
We can't find our way out. There's a sudden fog bank off the coast of Patagonia. I'm going to try and turn her around. Mayday.
Mayday.
Can't find. There's a sudden fog bank off the coast of Patagonia. Turn. Can't find. Turn. Find. Turn.
Find the pattern. Fox.
Yeah, I heard the 5x5 in there, but I don't have any idea what
I'm
that
sure
means.
It's something innocent. Maybe it's supposed to make you want to look. I don't know.
It could just be the, what is it, National Guard or...
What, 5x5 could be loud and clear?
Yeah.
It's easy to say 5x5. Five.
Come on.
Yeah. We hear you loud and clear. What?
It takes
confused.
Too much time to say loud and clear. 5x5, much easier.
I don't know. That's interesting. The final clip I want to play is one that is, if I can read my writing here, this is one where a lady gets a telephone call about her husband.
This one's creepy.
Case number 22. Tell me what happened, Mrs. Reed.
I identified my husband at the morgue after the wreck. So I went home to break the news to my son. And then I got this call from the coroner. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but your husband wants a ride home. He's alive.
Find the pattern.
Just noticed how freaky that little laugh was at the end. That was kind of like some chills up my spine.
Yeah, reference to 22 again.
Right, that's correct. We saw that with the police coat. Well, this one definitely, you know, screams of reanimation, which we will definitely see some reanimation going on with Fringe. So that's pretty cool. I mean, there's a direct tie-in, I think, here to something that I know that we'll see, you know, on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess we will learn more about these and maybe how they tie in. Maybe we'll learn more about these stories that, you know, we're hearing with the cruise ship, the lady whose husband was in the car accident, the guy who, you know, turned up in Baltimore. All these things that we heard through these audio clips, maybe we'll learn more about their stories also, either through the comic book or through the actual television show. It seems to me that they're kind of building a lot of backstory here that they're going to hopefully use to tell the story of the Fringe and the history here, because they've been tracking this for a while. I mean, Broyles doesn't just pull out a file, of course, out of nowhere. So hopefully we'll learn more about that backstory and the, you know, the sequence of events that have led us up to this point where we start getting involved with the story. It's all pretty cool, very exciting, very J.J. Abrams-esque, and I think that they've got another hit show on their hands here. So we are now just over 2 weeks away, 17 days exactly from when we're recording this, probably 16 or 15 days from when we actually get it posted on our website. But it's very, very exciting. The show premieres Tuesday, September the 9th at 8, 7 Central on Fox. Fringe is a really cool show. We can't wait. Glad you have joined us for this episode of Fringe, or The Fringe Podcast. And like I said, join our community at thefringepodcast.com/forum. Tell us what you think. We've got an area there for spoilers. We've got an area there about various Fringe sciences. We've got an area dedicated to similarities between Lost and Fringe. And so we welcome your feedback, your ideas, and theories. Also, send us feedback about this podcast or any other ideas you have, and we'll include them in our podcast. And you can send us that information at feedback@thefringepodcast.com. So that's all for this episode. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
See ya.